This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Back on the fan, been talking a lot of Yankees. To start the show, 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Yanks having a rough spring training so far. The latest casualty, Luis Gil. Again, they could overcome it, of course, but there is a scenario where, you know, these young guys, BT, don't perform. If these veterans, maybe Goldschmidt or Bellinger, if they don't do what they're supposed to do, things could go sideways for the Yanks. We'll get back to the baseball conversation in just a little bit. Obviously, we threw Soto into the mix and Andy Martino from yesterday, whatever you guys want to talk about in that regard as well. 888-808-1019. In case you missed anything, check it out on the free Odyssey app. You know, the Jets quarterback situation, we didn't talk about it all yesterday. It was a lot of Giants stuff. But we're approaching now free agency is what? Next week, I think, NFL free agency begins. You got the draft next month, and both these teams are going to get quarterbacks. Like, they don't have any. It's not, oh, they need to find their future. No, they literally need to find quarterbacks. They don't have it. And, you know, you mentioned Justin Fields yesterday for the Giants. I'm getting the feeling, and I saw Sturby mention this in the post, I am getting the feeling that Fields is going to be a good fit with what Aaron Glenn and the Jets are going to try to do.
I like it. I've always liked it. You know, I don't know how many other options there are for the Jets here. Now, there's more options for the Giants, just to kind of thread the conversation from yesterday. The Giants might pay Sam Darnold. Jets aren't. The Giants might bring in Aaron Rodgers. Jets obviously just sent them packing. So, at this point, let me ask you, Sal, and I'm going to throw Justin Fields into that list as well. I like him. I don't love him, but I like him. Intrigued by him as a mid-20-ish player who's still fairly young. Like, how many viable options do you really believe there are for the Jets? Viable meaning you think they could come in, win a couple of games, you know, be interesting enough where it keeps the Jets fan base energy up and also, you know, gets them in the end zone a little bit.
It's why when you actually think about this, it's even worse to me that they let Rodgers go because I don't think there are any, maybe even outside of Fields, but even with Fields, like, there's no guarantee. There's just something about Fields that I feel like at least you know what the floor can be. And it's like stable. He could be a quarterback before, win you some games, run the football, make some plays. I want no part of Kirk Cousins.
Oh, God forbid.
Garoppolo's name came up yesterday. Stop. No part of him. They already ruled out Aaron Rodgers, as you said.
Yep.
They're not going to get Sam Darnold, I wouldn't think. And by the way, we'll find out more about him today with the franchise.
They're not going to tag him.
Right. It sounds like they're not going to tag him by 4 o'clock, whatever. But still, I don't think the Jets are going to go after Sam Darnold,
no.
Do you?
No.
And even so, like,
Jets no.
I just don't feel like it's a good. Come on, the Jets can't go bring back Sam.
They're not
going.
I don't even think that's being remotely entertained.
Kirk Cousins. I mean, what options are we looking at here? What?
I think the options are. I think Fields is incredibly high on their list. I think like if they had to, I think they'd pivot to somebody like Russell Wilson and then draft somebody.
No thanks. I'm saying me personally.
Yeah. I know. I don't want him either. Okay. But I'm saying what I think they might do. I think Fields is the primary target. I don't think they want Shador Sanders. I think Cam Ward's very possible to move up number one and try to get him.
Yeah, I mean, God, it's crazy.
It's a lot to move up six slots.
I get it. We're talking about the same teams looking for the same thing yet again. Just made me think of something, BT. Maybe this is a different conversation for another day, but why not just have it here? Who do you think is better set up to groom the next quarterback? Assuming that, I'm not talking about like, you know, Rodgers or, you know, Russell Wilson. I'm talking about whether they get that young quarterback like Fields with potential or in the draft. Would you take Shane and Dable, or would you take Muji and Glenn right now?
That's an interesting one. I think all things considered, even I would take Dable. Not so much with Shane,
right?
But Dable. But it's not even, and I because it's not even, I would probably go with Glenn and Muji because I think the pressure that's already infiltrated the Giants building, and very well will even if Dable doesn't think it's impacting his decision making. It very well might because of job security. I think Aaron Glenn's able, not that he doesn't want to win, but early on, 0-0 record, able to operate with some freedom upstairs in his mind. I don't think he's going to do something that could be detrimental to the development to try to steal a win.
Yeah, it's a weird, and that's why I think it's an interesting question. It's a weird dynamic that the Giants have because it is a general manager and head coach combination going into year four, where they still need to find their quarterback, but it's a guy in Dable that you trust more than Glenn to develop a quarterback because of the offensive mind. But Glenn is trying to build a culture with the Jets, and I trust him to. I feel like I trust him to get the right guy in that's going to be an all-in team guy, try to win games best they can. I think Dable will maximize the quarterback's talent.
Schematically.
Yes.
Yep.
But I think Glenn will maximize the intangibles and pick the right leader. Now, who that is, who the hell knows? That's why I don't think there are good options. I don't think the Giants have any good options, and they're trying to save that current regime.
Mm-hmm.
And the Jets don't have any good options, and they're trying to build something here. They let Rodgers go thinking that, okay, well, we're going to find out our other options. They knew what the other options were before they made the decision with Aaron Rodgers. So what is it? That's why I think the Jets maybe even more so need to trade up and get a quarterback. The Giants are trying to win now, then maybe they get a veteran. If the Jets are trying to build something, maybe they trade up and get Cam Ward.
Well, let's address something here that's getting a little steam. I don't want to overstate it. Yeah. We'll give you our opinions because we say they, you know, the Jets, they moved on from Aaron Rodgers. Are we officially convinced that it was a they thing and not a Woody Johnson absolute, this is what we're doing thing?
You know, I thought about this last week when I was away reading some of the headlines because Muji and Glenn were speaking at the combine.
Oh, yeah, we played a lot of the stuff. Oh, yeah, it was
so
great.
I saw some of the stuff while on vacation, and my initial thought right away, now call me a conspiracy theorist, whatever. I'm generally not, but in this particular case, it doesn't add up. Meaning that what they're saying, they didn't give a good answer. There is no good alternative. So I do think that there is a chance. I'm not saying that this is the case. Like, it very well could have been Muji and Glenn on their own making the decision to move on from Aaron Rodgers. It also could have been Woody behind the scenes saying, we don't want Rodgers here, but you're going to take the fall for this. Like, I'm not going to be naive. Now, I'm not going to be naive to that, BT. Come on, they had no answers. Oh, we love Rodgers. We still think he could play, but he's not going to play here. He's not good for us. You don't think any part of that came from Woody at all?
No, it might have. I don't think it was as direct as, hey, you know, I'm hiring you. You're taking the bullet. I'm going to clean my hands here. It's all on you and Muji. I don't think it was quite orchestrated that way. There may have been some heavy-handedness there. I don't necessarily dispute that. But let's go back to this very well might be the telling part. Remember when Keyshawn, I don't even know what the name of the show is, when Keyshawn said about a month or so ago that there's no way in hell. He's like, and he was as dug in and as definitive as you could possibly be, to the point where he's like, if Aaron Rodgers is quarterback in the Jets for Aaron Glenn, I'm going streaking.
Right.
Like, I mean, he put it out there. So is that coming from maybe a relationship or intel that Keyshawn might have, or at least familiar with what he's thinking? Or is that, you know, him and AG being boys, which probably is the more plausible route, and them having some, you know, just boy conversations, like not, you know, not put it out there for public consumption, but buddy's talking, and AG's like, there's no way in hell I'm rolling back with this guy. There's no chance.
I said this at the time, and I stand by it. I think it was more of a Keyshawn knows Glenn. And knowing Glenn and knowing Rodgers even from a distance, knowing Glenn close up like he does and knowing Rodgers from a distance, that the two wouldn't mesh, or that Rodgers wouldn't be the guy that Glenn wants to probably
agree.
Yeah, which I think it's a great counter, which then would bring me back to, oh yeah, well, Glenn probably made this decision on his own. And I still think he probably did.
It just might not be the right one.
Well, that's a whole other thing. But for the first time last week, I did start to think, you know what, maybe Woody did have something to do with it. Again, I know it's a conspiracy theory type thing.
Yeah.
But I'm not putting it past anybody. Look, the move doesn't really make sense when you consider the alternatives. We said this in real time, live at the time. I understand to a certain extent what the Jets are trying to do, mm-hmm. but show me the alternative. Unless you trade up and get one of the guys that you love, whether it's Cam Ward or Sanders or Dart, maybe they love Dart. Now all of a sudden you're hearing Jackson Dart.
A lot of Jackson Dart.
Nobody mentioned him 3 weeks ago. Now all of a sudden, oh, he's picking up steam. He's going to be a first-round pick, top 10. Yep. Maybe he goes number three. Who the hell knows? But all of a sudden Jackson Dart now, he's going to be a top pick. That's how it works. The quarterback
always
shoot.
Does, Sal.
Yeah, so they come out of nowhere and shoot up the draft. But shoot up the draft board. But to me, that would be the only thing that makes sense, getting their own young quarterback in mm-hmm. and trying to groom him with their culture that they're trying to build.
That would be nice. I mean, you kind of reset the finances a bit. You absorb the Aaron Rodgers stuff. You figure out what you're going to do contractually with Garrett Wilson, Sauce Gardner. Those are all things that they are clearly already looking at and probably have a strong direction or inclination as to which way they're going to go. Listen, there is an option out there for both the Jets and the Giants that would be, I think Giant fans would certainly be more okay with it than the Jet fans when I tell you what it is, but would be much more scorned than revered based on the histories of both men that I'm about to bring up. If Sam Darnold started his career with the Jaguars or the Dolphins or the Chargers,
yep.
I promise you, I'd be saying, Jets, go get him.
Me
he's
too,
young,
probably.
He's big, he had a good season, he was with O'Connell, who's a genius. Give him 40 mil, let's go. And because he's not a former Giant and he's a former Jet, to me, Sam Darnold makes a lot of sense for the Giants, number one. This you will be much less enthused about. I've floated it before. I don't love it, but I would be okay with it if you draft somebody high. Daniel Jones for the Jets. I know it sounds crazy. I know. Nobody wants to talk about Daniel Jones. I get it.
But the scary part is that he's just as average as the rest of the options.
Well, that's like, what I'm saying.
This is viable.
He's probably going to be a little cheaper than Justin Fields at this point. I don't want Kirk Cousins. I don't want, Garoppolo, these old guys. They're done for the most part.
Dude.
The Jets didn't draft them sixth. The Jets didn't give them a second contract. Like the Jets have, there's no baggage with the Jets when it comes to Daniel Jones. If you were to somehow move up and get Cam Ward or even Dart at like 7 or 13 or second round and you brought in Daniel Jones, I mean, I'm one of the biggest Jet fans I wouldn't mind that.
I honestly
wouldn't mind that.
I get it. Think about what you just said.
I know.
Yesterday,
I know what I said.
Yesterday we talked about the idea of the Giants getting Rodgers, and now you're talking about the idea of the Jets getting Daniel Jones. We could have another season.
I know.
We were watching Rodgers and Jones quarterback just for the opposite teams.
Sal,
come on,
I know,
man.
It's crazy, which is probably why it will never yet tap me out. I'm done.
It might.
I know. But if we can strip away the emotion, which is so hard, and the fleeting snapshot of failed memories that both of those gentlemen that we're talking about, flood back to our collective minds.
Right.
If we could do that and we could analyze it solely as a football decision, Darnold much less of a bridge than Daniel Jones, obviously, and more money and longer contract. But, and the reason why I say this about Daniel Jones, like, the Jets, you can steal a game or two like Dable did with Jones mm-hmm. his first year with a guy who can run. And Daniel Jones can run. And because now he's also injury prone.
Fields is number one for me. But Fields.
Fields might go to the Raiders. Yeah. Fields might go to the Giants. Like, you got to have a plan B. I don't know where Fields is going. And, hell, Fields could stay in Pittsburgh. It's not completely off the table that he stays there. Because I thought there was a chance that the Steelers might go for Rodgers. And right now, there's not a lot of connection there. Doesn't mean it can't change. It's just strip away the failed stuff and look at it from a football perspective. And if I'm Aaron Glenn and I'm looking for a one-year guy that I can throw to the Wolves, hey, you're going to run it 7-8 times a game. You're going to do some keepers. And I'm saying to myself, if he gets hurt, he gets hurt. No sweat off my back. We didn't draft him six. We didn't give him $50, $100 million, whatever it was. I'm fine with that. It's not the worst decision, as much as nobody wants it.
Which is insane, because then if you think about it from the Giants' perspective, are we sure that they are definitively going to find a better quarterback than Daniel Jones, or at least the potential of what Jones did and could be? Look at the options.
I think Rodgers would be better.
Stafford, yes. Well, I mean, I think
Rodgers would be better.
I think so, I think so, too. And then you'd say, well, what are the Jets doing? Because they let a better quarterback go.
Yeah.
And maybe bringing in Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
Now, the most interesting thing there, actually, we'll take a break. And then come back, and I want to get into your point about Sam Darnold, because I think it is an excellent point that is getting kind of ignored, where because of Sam Darnold's history with the Jets, we, and I'm sure many others, are just like, eh, like they're not going to get Darnold. They're not going to bring him back. You can't go down that road again. But what if he's the best option? And he might just be the best option that's out there. You don't want to overpay for him, but if he's the best option, would you, should they, should we let the history get in the way of decision-making? If Sam Darnold is the best option to quarterback the Jets, we'll have that conversation and get back to your calls on the other side as well about the baseball, the football, whatever's on your mind on this Tuesday morning. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan.
How we doing on this Tuesday? Evan and Tiki on the Fan, a very, very, very busy show. David Stearns has made a miscue. Aaron Boone gives us a hint on kind of a dark horse third base candidate. We'll get to the baseball a little bit later on. But I have to admit, I'm very, very jealous of the New York Giant fan right now, because earlier today, Jordan Ronan, who's a fine reporter, said that multiple league sources feel like the Giants are thinking and pursuing a trade up to number one, where they would select Cam Ward as their quarterback. And it's funny that that report came out this morning from Jordan, because last night I was in very deep thought and I got my wife involved, who doesn't know sports, doesn't even like sports. And I said, honey, I got to make a big decision tonight. And she said, what's that decision? I said, I want to really strongly have a plan for the Jets at quarterback. Because I don't know what Aaron Glenn's plan is. I don't know what Darren Mooji's plan is. But I, as a passionate Jet fan, want to have a plan. And after careful review and careful thought and going through the free agent veterans and watching some YouTube, I want Cam Ward. I want the New York Jets at number seven to pursue the big swing for the fences, as they call it, and pursue Cam Ward. Because, and let me explain this real quick before we get into the nitty-gritty of it, like why at the end of the day I prefer Cam Ward over Kirk Cousins or Justin Fields or Russell Wilson or any other stopgap option you want. If the New York Jets are going to get where I'm dreaming they go someday, they need a franchise quarterback. You could argue the Giants don't in the NFC. I don't know how good Jalen Hurts truly is. I don't know how good Jared Goff truly is. But in the AFC, and I'm not talking about making the playoffs. That's cute. That's the goal in the short term. But the long-term goal is to win a championship, which means you have to get past prime Josh Allen.
Right.
You've got to get past prime Lamar Jackson. And, oh, yeah, I left the final boss for the end. You got to get past prime Patrick Mahomes. You are not doing that with stopgaps. You're not doing that with also-rans. You're doing it by swinging for the freaking fences. And so I want my football team, the New York Jets, to take one hell of a monster swing. And to me, the monster swing is Cam Ward.
The question is, how do you get to Cam Ward? Now, he's not falling. And it's obvious that there are multiple teams that are interested that are all in front of you. The Raiders immediately in front of you. The Giants, obviously, at three. The Tennessee Titans are in the market, I would guess, for a quarterback. And we kind of don't know the plan of the Cleveland Browns, but let's just say that they're there as well. So there are four teams. So only basically two other teams don't want a quarterback in the top six or seven, including the New York Jets. And so how are you getting there? That's the only challenge for the Jets when they, if you want to think about going to number one, especially if there's competition from teams like the Giants, who, if you're the Tennessee Titans and you don't want to fall too far back, you just fall two spots back.
No, I agree. I agree. The Giants have an edge. If the Giants are heavily pursuing going from three to one, their edge is that they can tell the Tennessee Titans, hey, look, we're guaranteeing you an elite generational kind of talent, not at the quarterback position.
100%.
Because all of a sudden, Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter's on your team. You can guarantee them that because you're taking a quarterback at number one. So I admit that the Giants have an edge. What I think the Jets have an edge on, and I don't want to do this. I'm saying I may have to. And that is offering a really talented young player who's not being paid that much money yet. And I've flirted out with this idea.
It feels so baseball to me.
Well, but it's true.
I know it is true, but it feels so baseball to me. And would Jet fans be okay with it? If you say, all right, we'll give you our one and Sauce Gardner. Because, by the way, it doesn't make horrible sense because you got to pay both of those guys.
Right.
and talking about Garrett Wilson and Sauce Gardner, and that's coming pretty soon.
Yes.
And so if you're the Jets, and it seems like they're looking at the old regime's roster construction and just kind of slowly dismantling. Mm-hmm. Not anything, you know, grossly profound, but it's, all right, Devontae Adams, we're not going to keep you. We already told Aaron Rodgers we don't want you. Now it's Alan Lazard. Go look for a trade if you can find it. If not, we're going to cut you as well.
Right.
And those are just the three big names offensively, but I'm sure there's going to be a few more of those that get sent the door for the New York Jets
absolutely.
As they rebuild what they envision as their roster. And so making a determination on Sauce Gardner and Garrett Wilson, I think it's probably more Sauce than it is Garrett.
It is Sauce, because if I'm building and taking this massive swing on a young quarterback, mm-hmm. I want them to have Garrett Wilson right off the top.
You got to have a star, young star, that's under team control.
No doubt. Like, to me, making that kid's life easier is priority number one. The Jets have failed at that many times when they've drafted a young quarterback. I don't want to trade Sauce Gardner. I want to make that clear. I don't want to. I don't want to trade Quinnen Williams. I don't want to. But if need be, to take this massive swing that I think the Jets are in position to take, that's something that they can offer that other teams can't. What would I rather do? I'd rather trade picks. And I know what the cost is. I remember back years ago to when Jared Goff was drafted by the Los Angeles Rams, and they had to trade up from 14 to number one.
Yeah.
Think about that kind of massive jump that the Rams had to make to get Jared Goff. They went from 14 to 1. That was the biggest jump to the number one overall pick that we had seen. The Jets are trying to do half that. They're trying to get 7-1.
Yeah.
So it's a jump. It's a big jump, Teak, but it's not unprecedented.
No, it's not. But what feels unprecedented is trading picks and current players. Like, I know it's got to have happened at some point, but I just can't think off the top of my head when a up-and-coming, under-team-control star has been traded for draft elevation.
Mm.
I know it's probably happened, but I can't think of it. And so it just, that feels the unprecedented side. And so that goes back to the very first concern that I had for, which is a good idea for you,
right?
For the Jet fan, go get the best quarterback that's available in this year's draft and then build around him and develop him, and hopefully he becomes your star. But we can't get there from seven, especially with at least three other teams, maybe four, above us looking for quarterback.
It's going to be tough. The package to get from 7-1, it's going to be costly. But to me, here's why it's worth it. I do believe in the AFC. If you want to get where we're dreaming of going, you can't be average at quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be. And so what are the other short-term options? The short-term options, which can make sense financially, is, hey, bring in Kirk Cousins. He's not going to make any money, assuming he's eventually released by Atlanta.
Right.
And I'm believing that he will. I don't care what the Falcons say publicly. They're not paying $40 million for a backup. So I get why, hey, in the short term, economically, hey, get Kirk Cousins on a one-year deal. I even understand the appeal of, hey, let me take a flyer on Justin Fields. I understand the short-term dealing of Russell Wilson. I get all that. But while that may be good enough to get the Jets to, let's say, an 8-9 win, fun little season,
mm-hmm.
how do we get to the ultimate goal? The ultimate goal is winning a championship. And in this conference, and in this division, a division that as of right now features Josh Allen, already a superstar, Drake May, maybe on his way to a superstar, and I like Tua. I think the ability to stay healthy is the biggest question with him. I don't think for the next 5 years we're competing with also-rans at quarterback. Like, you've got to take that big risk.
Yeah, and it's probably a couple years down the line that this is going to show itself. But you also risk him not being that guy.
Well,
you also risk him not being Josh Allen level or Pat Mahomes level or not even Jaden Daniels level. Like, if you risk and you miss, then it really sets you back.
This is
the case with any team taking a quarterback in the top 5 or 10. If you miss, it's going to set you very far back.
Of course it will.
And so sometimes it's almost better, and history's changed and it's different now from when I was playing, but I think the best thing that the Giants did was not reach in 98 or 99 when instead we went to Kerry Collins,
mm-hmm.
right? When a veteran who was highly drafted, had his issues in Carolina, as we all know, but he was a vet who stabilized and took us where we needed to go. Obviously, we lost in the Super Bowl, but we got there.
No, I get you. So, I'm fine for that right now.
Right, exactly. Now, the question is, what's the better route? Is it to find that vet who can stabilize you and give you solid production or take a shot, and it's a heavy shot because you're giving up an asset and potential draft picks, mm-hmm. Et cetera, just to go get a young kid who might not make it.
Yeah, he may not make it, but if you go conservative, what are you waiting for? Eventually, you're going to have to take your swing at a young franchise quarterback. And if you believe in Aaron Glenn, I believe in Aaron Glenn. If you believe in the talent on this roster, and let's say you get average to decent quarterback play out of some kind of veteran, Kirk Cousins, maybe it's Tyrod Taylor. Maybe he just has a really good year. And the Jets win 8 or 9 games. Yeah. Are they in position next year to draft their franchise quarterback? The answer is no. They're going to be further away from picking at the top of the draft. If I'm Aaron Glenn and Darren Mooji, I look at this roster, I look at myself in the mirror, I'm confident in my coaching ability, and I say to myself, I'm not picking top 10 again.
Yeah.
When am I picking top 10 again?
Sean gave me an example, and he was right. The Chicago Bears did this, and they got DJ Moore.
Mm.
So, I mean, he's a good wide receiver. I mean, he was great in Carolina, and so they did it, to your point, and they ended up getting DJ Moore and ended up getting a quarterback eventually to go with him.
Yeah, I don't love the idea of trading already proven stars in this league. I'm just saying that that can be an enticer that other teams don't have if you're trying to trade up from 7-1. But look at the grander picture to my fellow Jet fans. If they're going to win anything, they need to finally find the thing we've been looking for decades, a franchise quarterback. Average quarterback play, while it may get you 8 or 9 wins, and we may have a fun season, and sure, you've got to walk before you run, to eventually compete for a championship, which is the ultimate goal. That's right. What we all want as sports fans. They're going to have to do better than that. And I do believe in Aaron Glenn. I don't think they're picking 7th next year. So if they're not, and we think this team is going to be better, yeah, and they're going to win some games, this may be their best shot.
Yeah, this is what the Atlanta did.
Yeah.
With Terry Fontenot. They believed that they weren't, and obviously Raheem Morris is the new head coach, they believed that they weren't going to be picking high in the very near or long-term future. Let's take our quarterback now.
Let's go for it. Because when I go into the start of this season as a Jet fan, while Kirk Cousins could give them nice average quarterback play, and yeah, they could win 8 or 9 games, that's certainly possible. Don't you want to dream about the possibility that they finally found their guy? Mm. And don't be afraid because they haven't. Because Zach Wilson stunk. Because they screwed up Sam Darnold. Because Mark Sanchez gave us a tease but never put it all together. Or Geno Smith. Or Browning Nagel. Or whatever other example you want to come up with. I get it. The Jet history stinks. I'd be the first to tell you that.
Right.
But I'm also a believer in swinging for the fences. And I think the Jets are better equipped to do it than even the Giants are. Because the Giants are in this spot where if they don't get wins in year one, or they don't see real kind of growth from a young quarterback that they draft, the administration's going to be fired.
That's right. Exactly the way.
This administration has that time.
Yeah.
No, that's exactly why they shouldn't be doing this.
Why?
Because they do have this time. This may be a one true elite quarterback draft. We could debate on 2 or 3. Evan, to mortgage the future, I know you don't want to hear this. I think this has to be a major evaluation year for Mooji, and Aaron Glenn in this spot. And if I'm the Jets, I take the realism of, let's go play with Tyrod Taylor. We'll probably add somebody else. If the draft falls our way, we want to take a shot on whoever that 3rd or 4th quarterback could be, fine. But you may be in a spot without trading up, and I hate to break this to you, where you're picking top 5 next year in a deeper quarterback draft, the likes of which we saw last year.
But that's where we disagree.
Where you're never giving up picks,
Sean,
you might get a better prospect.
Sean, that's where I disagree. And I know that you can mock this. That's, you have every right to. And maybe even some of my fellow Jet fans will mock this. I think they're too talented. I think their biggest problem the last few years is they've been terribly coached. And maybe I'm being naive, but I believe in Aaron Glenn. So I think if they are well coached, if I'm right that their coaching just made a major upgrade with the hiring of Aaron Glenn, then I completely reject the notion they're drafting in the top 5. That's a part of why I do want to swing for the fences now. I think they're going to be good. I think they've got talent on this roster, even if it's not good enough, to not be picking 7th.
Yeah.
And I think the longer you wait and you kick the can down the road, the more difficult it becomes and the more desperate you become. And one last thing about mortgaging the future, I reject that notion too. What you're doing if you trade up is you're mortgaging next year's draft. I admit that.
Right.
Because you're probably giving up a first-round pick next year. I get that. That's one draft.
But if you get your quarterback, then you're not necessarily worried about it. And I said the same thing about the Giants. If they decide to go to 1, end up having to give their next year's first round as well, as opposed to their second rounder this year, first and second rounder this year, because you already have your quarterback.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
It's worth it. Like, the one thing nobody could argue is if the Jets trade up and they select Cam Ward and we're right that Cam Ward is the guy, then nobody's going to care what they gave up. And if it doesn't work, you're right. It's a big swing and a miss. Obviously, there's a risk anytime you take a young player and say, all right, you're our future. You're our franchise quarterback. But that's what I want the Jets to do. And 3 years ago, Teak, it was the opposite. I said, go get a veteran. Time to win. Well, here we are. The cycle has changed. I'm back to dreaming big. And I think the Jets are equipped to do it. And I hope they have the guts to do it. And Giant fans, you're right there too. Because apparently, your organization's looking at it too. And the guy they're eyeing is Cam Ward. We'll get to your calls next at 888-808-1019. Actually, it was this morning.
Yeah.
And I was like, I got to read this email. Because even though the person called me out, I appreciated it. So this is from Lawrence. I want to read it to you. Hey, Evan, Tiki, and the crew. I think you guys are the crew.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great.
I just wanted to drop a quick note to say how much I enjoy the Evan and Tiki show. You guys do an awesome job holding everyone, hosts, callers, and even yourselves, accountable for their sports takes.
Yep.
It's refreshing to hear talk with no fluff, and it keeps me tuned in every day. With that said, now that Devontae Adams has been released by the New York Jets, I'd love for you to revisit Evan's thoughts on the trade back when it happened.
Oh, Lord.
I remember him being, quote, pretty fired up about it. Any chance we could take a look back at what he said and how it's aged? Keep up the good work.
Well, did Lawrence, you do this?
When I saw this email, I believe in accountability. So, ladies and gentlemen, October 15th.
Are you trying to give yourself another L?
It's not about getting L's. Look, it's up to you guys to determine what
We won't. Unless it's, like, egregious.
All right. Here is what I said. And this was such a weird day because when I went back to find this audio, what I kind of forgot was this was the day after the Mets beat the Dodgers in Game 2. The Yankees, I think, had won Game 1 of the ALCS.
Mm-hmm.
And the Jets lost to the Bills on Monday Night Football after they had fired Robert Saleh.
Right.
All of that happened. And then that morning before our show, they acquired Devontae Adams.
Oh, my God. That was after our American Dream Show that night of the tailgate?
It was after our American Dream Show.
And I remember saying it's not going to happen because I had just done a Raiders game. And I asked Devontae Adams specifically.
Right.
What are you going to do? He's like, I'm going to be here for my career. My family grew up Raiders fans. This feels like my destination.
Right.
He straight lied to my face.
He did. So all of that was going on in New York sports. And this is what I said to hold myself accountable about the Devontae Adams trade. This was an absolute no-brainer. The Jets are better because they made this trade. I believe the Jets had to make this trade. And I keep my fingers crossed, and I ask the football gods pretty please that it's all going to work out. But when you're in this deep, you got to keep digging.
Well, that's not bad. That's not L-worthy.
I stand by it.
It's just you're excited about it.
And you know what? I stand by every word. Like, it didn't work, clearly. And it was a conditional third, which remained a third. I think it had a chance to go to a two if they had gone to the AFC Championship game or something like that. But I stand by that take. Like, I was excited. I thought it was worth it. And look, there's a lot of things in sports where you look back on and it didn't work, but you don't regret it. The Jets getting Aaron Rodgers, I do not regret. The Nets getting Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, I do not regret. And trading Devontae Adams, even though it was a third-round pick, I do not regret.
Right.
I don't.
Well, you gave up your third, but you already had a third.
Mm-hmm. From a Lion trade.
Detroit.
Yep.
So you had Detroit. So it didn't really cost you much, except for that third is 28th.
They could use the third right now. Right?
But I'm just saying, instead of being, you know, the seventh pick in the third round, it's the 28th pick in the third round.
Right.
That's the only thing. But you already have a couple of extra picks of Kansas City, got their sixth round pick. And another fifth round pick because of the Pittsburgh trade.
I thought in that moment they had to do it. They had to go for it.
I agree.
And so, yeah, I mean, it didn't work. I'd be the first to raise my hand. And if that's L-worthy, fine. But I stand by it. Sometimes there are opinions you have and you look back and you say, what the hell was I thinking? I don't feel that way about Devontae Adams. I also remember that Sean and I got in a very passionate argument that day. Do you know what we argued about?
About Devontae Adams?
About this. Yeah, related to the Devontae Adams thing.
I know I was against the Jets trading for him.
So you weren't. I listened to the full audio. you were for it. What you argued with me is, I get why you did it, but I think it's too late. And I got really pissed that it's too late. I said, okay. What do you mean it's too late? They're right there.
Right.
And it wasn't too late. Like, ultimately, calendar-wise, it wasn't too late. It just didn't work. And what I learned about the Devontae Adams trade, I want to share with you guys as Giant fans, because I think it's really important. Because you guys may sign Aaron Rodgers next week. That is absolutely on the table.
And Devontae.
Signing Devontae Adams with Aaron Rodgers is a catastrophic mistake. Because what I learned from this experience is that while Devontae can still play and him and Rodgers have a chemistry, I think Rodgers is going to force the biscuit to him way too much.
Yeah.
And I think that was some of the issues that happened with the Jets. They had bigger issues than just that. But I think it alienated Garrett Wilson. And I am deeply, deeply concerned that if you do this again, if you repeat the Jet mistake, you will alienate Malik Nabers, and we're going to be sitting here in the month of December, and we're going to hear, I don't know if we'll do it publicly, but we're going to hear about how Nabers ain't happy, and that's a big mistake. Learn from our mistakes.
That would be a fear. I want you to do a little homework when you get home tonight in between Ricos, okay? I want you to go through the last 10 years of Giants football and tell me how many times their number two wide receiver had 7 or more touchdowns.
But what does that have to do with this?
That's how many Adams had with the Jets.
Yeah.
And what the Giants have a problem with right now is people scoring touchdowns.
Yeah, but you're missing the point I made.
The question is what's left in him? Devontae Adams is an interesting case because at one point he was a shoo-in Hall of Famer.
Right.
Is he still that?
Yeah, but wait a second. Yes, it's a great point, and I get both of your points. You both ignored my point, and at least address it before we move on. Do you not think that Aaron Rodgers will force the issue with a guy who's not as good as the other young receiver?
I don't think he's in position to do that.
But he did it with Garrett.
Yeah, well, I think it's a pushover. He was deified with the Jets.
I agree.
And so whatever he wanted to happen wasn't going to happen. That's not going to happen with the Giants.
I would agree with most of that the Giants can kind of give him the law of the land. But I think a part of giving him the law of the land is not having Devontae even on the team as that drug you could go to.
Oh, I agree.
There are other receivers you can add.
There are better options than Devontae Adams.
Younger options?
Age, younger?
Yeah.
Or draft.
Or guys that Rodgers isn't going to have this, I got to push it to him issue with. So I get that the Giants have lacked it, and I totally get that Devontae still has something left.
Yeah.
But I think we got to look at the bigger issue here, which is don't give Rodgers that chance to do what he did with the Jets. It's a big mistake. I'm telling you right now, I learned from it.
I sincerely see what you're saying.
And by the way, January Loogie agreed with me.
I don't fully disagree with your point, but you know, there's always one side to another. They traded for Adams, like I said, they're too little too late. And I think as the season continued to spiral, then you had that Jaguar game, I think Rodgers just, hey, the season's getting out of hand. I'm chasing 500 touchdowns, whatever. I'm going to keep feeding my guy. If you start the season with him and Nabers, and, you know, there's a chance he likes Nabers better than Garrett Wilson,
but
too,
Sean,
by the way.
Why not just bring in another receiver?
You can. But I'm not eliminating Adams based on the fact he played Rodgers. That's all I'm saying.
But you should. Like, I'm surprised that you're making this mistake.
I think he wants to be on the West Coast anyway. So
with Devontae?
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know where he wants to be. I'm just warning you that you should learn from this. It doesn't feel like you've learned anything.
Oh, I've learned.
I feel like you're... You know what I feel like is going on? You ever hear the term single white female?
It's a movie with Jane Fonda.
But you know the origin of it, like the meaning of it?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
So single white female is like you're trying to be like someone else. And I think that's what the movie is about, correct?
To a degree, yeah.
I'm not even familiar with the movie. I'm familiar with the phrase, like, oh, she's single white femaling her, or he's single white femaling him.
I think the phrase came probably from the movie.
Probably.
Based on the plot,
but the origin of the phrase is, you're trying to be like someone else, right? You're really imitating that other person.
Yep.
I think you're single white femaling the Jets.
Yeah, because he wants to ram it up your butt.
Yes.
You know that.
Yeah.
And Sean, by the way, March Lugau agrees with you too. Sean is bringing up the player. It's not the player, it's what he represents. And we talk about laying the law down with Rodgers. If you're Aaron Rodgers and the Giants go, we're going to lay the law down with you, you're bringing in Devontae Adams, that's totally going against that. You're not laying the law down because you're bringing in his buddy.
Right.
So a guy like Aaron Rodgers is going to see that and go, well, if I could get Devontae Adams here, what else could I get away with?
But I think
it's setting a precedent.
But you're creating a situation I don't think is realistic.
Which one?
Devontae Adams becoming a Giant.
So you don't think it'll happen?
I don't think
it'll because happen. Of Devontae's lack of interest or the Giants' lack of interest?
Probably both.
Okay, well, then I agree with the Giants. I'm merely warning you Because I don't know what the Giants are interested in. I'm warning you from this refresher of Davante Adams' trade and my opinion on the trade and why I liked it, what I learned from it. And what I learned from it was that was actually not the marriage we thought it would be. And it turned out to be a negative because I saw what it did to Garrett Wilson. Mm-hmm. And like, you got to look deeper at the numbers because some people would poo-poo this by saying, well, you're still targeting Garrett Wilson a lot. What's you complaining about? Look closer. That'd be my answer. Just look closer, and you can see why Wilson was annoyed by what was happening.
To bring this full circle, I agree with Tiki. I don't think Davante Adams is going to be here. I'm just saying that is not why I'm eliminating. That's all I'm saying. I'm not eliminating him, and the Giants have a major need at number two.
And I think you should eliminate him. What?
By the way, single white female is Bridget Fonda. I said Jane Fonda.
Oh.
There's a, well,
okay.
Just
two
be
Fondas?
Accurate. Yeah.
It's a daughter, right?
I would have, just based on the last name, I would make that logical conclusion. There's definitely a big age gap.
It's got to be.
Well, how old's Jane Fonda? That Bridget was.
Bridget is 61. Like... Jane Fonda is 87. So 26. Yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Wow. I was going to say, she's definitely in her 80s. Yeah.
I've never seen that movie, but it's one of those things it's a phrase I've now learned.
Well, she was a stalker, right?
Jane Fonda?
No. The character is single white female.
Yes. So she looks, I think, almost like get with her boyfriend or stuff like that. She created, I think it was like Jennifer Jason Leigh was the other character. Uh-huh. And she cut her hair like her, like her.
Right. So basically.
Not Jane Fonda's daughter, by the way.
I promise you, I gave this a lot of thought last night, and I will give you a dead honest answer on what that would do to at least me as a Jet fan. Before we get back to your calls, 888-808-1019, and we get into the Jets' handling of Jordan Travis a little bit later on, Aaron Judge apparently taking a shot at Juan Soto later as well. I did give it thought that if the Giants sign Aaron Rodgers, as a Jet fan, as an IFO, as someone that has never hated the Giants, usually on Sundays I root for them. They're not like some of the other local teams in town that I don't root for, where I'm honest. Yeah, I don't want to see the Knicks win. Like last night, I lost some sleep watching Jalen Brunson prove he's king yet again down the stretch in beating the Miami Heat. I really enjoyed Mikal Bridges being benched, though. That was my favorite part. So I thought, all right, if Aaron Rodgers is a New York Giant, and, you know, we're working together, and Sean's here, and Loogie's here, and they're all pumped up, and you're calling it like it is, so you're usually not too obnoxious with this stuff. How am I going to feel as a Jet fan? Like, what am I going to root for? Does this make me anti-Giants? Does this make me indifferent like I normally am? Where, if you win, great. If you lose, not going to lose any sleep. Or does it make me somehow root for your team? And I gave it thought, and full transparency. Mm-hmm. I always want to be honest. You're not going to hold this against me. I am probably going to be more anti-Giant than I normally am. Mm. And I think the reason is, I want to explain it. It's not jealousy, Teak. You know what it is? It's not even anger.
Fear.
It's fear that if he's more successful with your team, that's another thing I'll never live down. And I think that's what it comes down to.
I can see that.
You now, Jet fans have talked a lot about the talent you had and the Giants not having it.
I think that's completely fair. And I'm also worried that even a modest 7 or 8 win season would be something that in this loser town of football we live in that you guys would use against me and other Jet fans.
I don't know if Giant fans would use it against you in a major fashion. I think it would just be like a mocking fashion. Like, what was wrong with you guys? You didn't, and really, we know what it was. You just didn't have the right coaching situation. And even when it kind of got like the right coaching situation, Woody fired him.
Right.
So it was just never ideal. Whereas with the Giants, because I think of the track record and the personality of Dave's, with Aaron, you know, desire and need to go out the way he wants to go out, it just might be the right confluence.
No, I get you.
Of events.
I think it's possible it happens. I think the other aspect that would play a role here is if the Jet quarterback situation's a mess. They go with Tyrod Taylor, he gets hurt, and now who knows who's starting? I don't know what they're going to do at the position. Certainly we'll be talking about it. If the Jets are in a worse place and Rodgers is healthy playing well, I'm going to be better. So my perfectly honest answer is, yeah, I'd probably be more anti-Giant than ever because I don't want to live in a world in which Sean Morash, and we know how he can be. Mm. I understand you both.
Rational?
I think he would actually be, if the Giants were successful with Aaron Rodgers, he'd be so happy that they're successful with Aaron Rodgers that he wouldn't worry about you.
Yeah, I'd farm my own land.
Tiki. Yes.
I'm just, that's my prediction.
Tommy,
and I'm positive about the Jets right now with Aaron Glenn.
Tommy. Can you correct Tiki that that would not be the case?
Tiki, I love you. You're dead wrong. Sean is a horrible loser and winner.
I'm speaking goodness into our show.
No, it is. I will not say anything unless something is said to me and I have to fire back. That's all.
Yeah, but something will be said to you because you get involved in the cesspool of social media.
No.
So every other Jet fan will have to take the blame because William B7912 made some kind
9607, actually.
Made some kind of comment on social media. No, you will punt the football, not punt, spike the football in our face every time Aaron Rodgers does something. You've already done it.
Why?
You've already done it.
He hasn't
even signed with the Giants, and you're doing it.
No, because it's already started. The Jet fans are already, you guys are going to fall for it like us, completely missing that it's two completely different scenarios.
Well, I agree that it's two completely different scenarios, but if they, let's say the Giants win seven games, like I said, that's not a great year, but it's better than what we had.
Yeah, but I can't brag about that. I can't brag and go, he won seven games at us. No.
Okay. I think you're full of crap, and I always want to be honest with you. I don't want to just say, oh, yeah, no, don't worry. I'll be fine with the Giants. No, I'm going to probably be in a position where I'll be rooting against you. Now, once you start the young quarterback, I think I go back to being a nice, rational IFO. But I think as long as Aaron Rodgers is starting, and that's why when I brought this up in January, I didn't bring it up because I wanted it to happen. I brought it up because it made sense from a football standpoint.
Yes, and it does.
Thank
you. And the more we talk about it, the more it makes sense. Now, look, the Giants aren't. I don't know if they're all in on Aaron Rodgers like they were all in on Matt Stafford, because that was real.
Mm-hmm.
And it was real with them, and it was real with the Raiders. Clearly, as we alluded to earlier, it was just Matt Stafford. And I guess to an extent, the Raiders using the other teams to figure out what his market value was worth, and then they held on to him. The Giants, though, are going to look at every free agent option that's out there right now. And this is what's daunting, and I guess it's tough to think about. Like, they got to worry about the draft and free agency, but their biggest issue has been quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of this energy is going to be spent looking at all the free agents that are available. Some of them you're not even going to really worry about. You do a cursory glance at. But then you also are looking at Travis Hunter and Cam Ward and Jackson Dart. And like, you're looking at all the young guys as well. Like, this offseason quarterback search for the Giants is probably the most extensive one that they've had in 5 or 6 years. Maybe, actually, no, it's more. Probably 7 years before they got Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
Because they can't afford to get it wrong.
I'd argue it goes back to when you were playing, because I think once they were settled with Eli, their searches were mostly for backups.
That's a good point. That's a great point.
And then they drafted Daniel Jones.
Right.
Like, I don't think they've had an extensive veteran search, and I don't even remember, it goes back so long, to what they were looking at besides Kurt Warner.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even remember.
So you're talking almost 30 years.
20 years, yeah. 20 years.
20, yeah, 20. Yeah, because I've been retired for 20. So 20 years. 25, 3 years.
Crazy.
It's nuts.
Let's go to Bruce calling from Brooklyn. What's up, Bruce?
How you doing, guys?
What's up, man?
Listen, I know Aaron Rodgers is beyond reproach and everything because he's so great and everything, but as a Giant fan, I never really rooted for Aaron Rodgers. I think he's a very boring quarterback, and I feel like I've seen enough of him. I mean, I've seen him with the Jets. I would rather have Justin Fields, because at least Justin Fields is a young guy. He's in the prime of his career.
Yeah, but
he wants to prove he can win games.
But he might not be good. That's the issue.
The appealing part of Justin Fields is his age. And when you have someone who's young, there's the hope, the belief, but really the hope that, hey, maybe he turns into what we thought he could have been coming out of Ohio State. But Aaron Rodgers and the word boring to me don't fit in terms of the way he plays football. He's not a boring quarterback.
No.
I wouldn't call him that.
No, I think he's actually the opposite of that. And because you don't know what you're going to see. And if you do see a lot of things, it's going to be extraordinarily compelling or really bad, like you saw at points over the last couple of years.
Let's go to Eric in Rivervale, New Jersey. What's up, Eric?
Evan, Tiki, how are you?
What's up, man?
Good. What's up, man?
Oh, man, I couldn't agree with you more, Evan, as far as Sean goes. If they end up with Rodgers and he starts winning, I mean, if we know anything about Morash, it's that he's a real bad loser, but he's an even worse winner.
Completely
so, yeah, that would be rough
agree.
For us.
Well said. I think that's a fair description of Sean getting to work with him now for almost 2 years.
Absolutely.
We're getting there.
How much fair description of you, Sean?
No, but how much winning have you seen me have here?
That's a good point.
I mean,
fair point.
The Yankees are always there.
So on the Rodgers, I mean, I will say this first. I mean, I'm a Jets fan, as you guys know, but I think, you know, both organizations obviously have very similar issues and gaps and challenges going forward. And I think, I mean, to me, like, I guess the Aaron Rodgers thing to the Giants would assume, though, that they're going to get a quarterback at three. And I don't know that that's a reasonable assumption, because to me it seems like Tennessee is dumb enough to trade that one pick. And I don't know if it's the Jets or if it's the Raiders or anybody else. But
I don't think it has to be a quarterback at three. I think it has to be a quarterback.
Right.
And so if that's a second-round pick, if Jalen Milroe is a guy they've identified and say, hey, we were impressed with his combine, value-wise, we can get him in the second round. I'm just hypothetical here. I think it would have to be a young quarterback that you can groom.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it necessarily has to be Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward, even though those are the guys taking most of the oxygen out of the room.
You can almost guarantee that they're taking a quarterback this year. And I don't know when that's going to happen, first, second, or third round. But you can almost guarantee that that's going to happen. But what we do know is that there absolutely will be a vet. And this is what Sean said last week, and he was right about it. If they're going to take a vet, no matter what, you might as well take Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
What other
he's the best option.
What other vet is a better option right now? I know that you can fool yourself and say, well, we're going to play the young guy anyways. We just need the Jacoby Brissett type backup quarterback. So just in case he gets hurt, you have a capable veteran to come in and play. That's not what I think the Giants are looking for. I think they're looking for a successful quarterback who can help them win right now, and in the process help them groom or mentor one of the young players that they end up drafting in the first, second, or third round.
Speaking of young quarterbacks, what did the Jets do to Jordan Travis? We have an update on that, plus more of your calls on Aaron Rodgers at 888-808-1019. Evan and Tiki on the Fan.
So here are your two Sauce Gardner clips. And I would like to thank these guys on the 4Play Golf Channel for bringing this up on the first hole, basically, or the second hole. So it was easy to find. This was Jersey Jerry suggesting Pittsburgh to Sauce as they were driving on the cart path.
The Steelers need a corner. You come in.
Porter.
Yeah, I know. We need another. We need a two. We need a second corner.
Yeah, I got Deontay.
He's getting old, though. I mean, he did his thing for a long
time.
He's getting old. He had some back problems, you know?
All right, so that's part one, as they would continue.
And by the way, I was shocked that Sauce said a number two. Like, when he goes, we need a number two. And he was like, wait, because he doesn't think of himself as a number two.
He thinks himself as the best cornerback in football.
Yeah, right.
And then here he continues, really wants him to go to the Steelers.
Listen, Tomlin would love you.
Hey, Tomlin is a cool coach for sure.
We got the money, too. Give you a new deal, Sauce, no?
But I can just get a new deal with the Jets this offseason, though, too, man. I love it. I love New York.
I know. Aaron Glenn, too.
Aaron Glenn.
I know. He's great.
All right. So he says the specific thing there that sticks out is this offseason.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks this offseason. And later in the video, the cap goes up, like the news breaking of the cap going up happened, and he was like, you know, went up $22 million, and he was all excited about it. So I don't think it's going to happen this offseason for him, but he believes it will. So it was
interesting. Certainly sounds like it, no doubt. The Raiders did give Max Crosby a 3-year extension, $106 million. Here was John Spytek.
This is obviously a big commitment, and it's not lost on us how big that is, but there's no one we'd rather do it with than Max and what he stands for and the way he plays the game and the passion. I mean, that's what Coach and I have talked about. And
what are you laughing at?
Why do black people like Dodge Chargers? Sorry. I mean, it's unbelievable. Someone Googled that enough for this to be in auto, Phil.
Oh.
Think about that.
We do. We like Dodge Chargers and Hellcats. That's kind of our thing.
Sorry, Jerry.
That's all right. Here's Crosby. I'll continue being the player I've been.
It doesn't change my approach. You know what I mean? I'm still going to be here same time every single day and put the work in. That's just a byproduct of, you know, the sacrifice that we do on a daily basis. So when I'm retired, whenever that day is, you know, maybe go on a couple more vacations. But for the time being, I'm focused on being the best on the planet at what I do.
So I don't know if I'd be more excited if I was a Jet fan here in Sauce or a Raider fan here in Max Crosby there.
Yeah, well, Max Crosby, a much better player than Sauce Gardner, albeit different positions.
But they're there, guys. That's all.
Yeah, there are. I don't believe with this new regime. And, you know, Boomer says this whole thing, too, that I don't quite understand. But he says the only reason they would get a contract this offseason if they want to take a major discount. That would be the only reason why the Jets would give them a contract in this offseason. So Hopefully that isn't a bone of contention with him and Garrett Wilson if they don't get him and Mooj doesn't give them the deals. But, you know, we'll, something to follow.
Yeah, I think this year is a prove it year for his Sauce without a doubt, especially after the down year he had this year. But also, no, I think people don't realize how big of a player DJ Reed is.
Yeah.
Like, that guy competed and fought and took on every number one possible. They try to, you know, they try to isolate him in a lot of different ways as far as going at him. And he just stood tall in a lot of big situations. They're going to have to get somebody to balance that out. Yeah, you could pay Sauce, but you better get somebody on the opposite side of him that can kind of fill the shoes DJ Reed had.
I'll have a lot more football coming up throughout the course of the morning. Do have some good stuff that we can get to. I'll tell you, the Knicks are in L.A. to take on the Lakers tonight. Los Angeles has won 7 in a row, and Karl Anthony Towns is going to play. He is joining them there, so that's at least good news. The Nets are home for the Warriors. Brooklyn has lost 5 in a row. Bucks beat the Mavericks, notable as Giannis goes for 32 points. He goes over 20,000 for his career. Now, this is coming, you know, off the heels of LeBron going over 50,000 the other night. Here was Giannis reacting to that big number.
It's a good feeling. Like, I'm proud of the journey, but I have so much more to give. I'm 30 years old. I have so much to give. I'm changing my game. I'm becoming more efficient, more effective.
Okay, we'll see if he can get the 30 and 40,000. Who knows? The Cavaliers won again, 12 in a row for them. They beat the Heat 112-107, first team to clinch a playoff spot. From baseball, how about Jose Iglesias going to the Padres on a minor league deal?
I know. You know what I'm more surprised at? Because David Stearns came flat
the
out.
Yankees.
Yes. Exactly. Took the words right out.
I know.
That's a team that would make so much more sense. He's already here. You know what he could do. The need at third base. They've had an emphasis this offseason on defense. Yeah, surprising. I don't know. It's a shame because I would have liked to have him around. It would have been tough to see him on the Yankees. But I just think that the modern day GM looks at what he did last year as an aberration. That's what I think.
Okay, there's not one team that could have used him and given him a major league deal.
I agree.
I mean, one guy in the league called him the MVP of the Mets. Or the National League, excuse me. Crazy.
Yeah, I know.
Capitals and Rangers. Rangers had a 2-1 lead in the third. Then Alex Ovechkin struck with career goal 885. And then in overtime.
Under a minute to go, 2-1 Caps. Wilson to Strome. Strome waits down low. They score. Tom Wilson wins it for Washington.
And that was Sam Rosen on MSG. 3-2 the final. Well, not long before they were going to go to a shootout, but instead they get the win in overtime. Alex Ovechkin, we mentioned, 885, so he's now 9 away from tying Wayne Gretzky's 894 and 10 away from breaking the record. In the loss, goals for Artemi Panarin and Sam Carrick. College basketball of note, UConn beat number 20 Marquette 72-66. You've got St. John's closing out their regular season at Marquette on Saturday, and Ole Miss beat number 4 Tennessee 78-76.
All right, thank you, Jerry. We'll see you next hour. So the other thing that Sauce Gardner said, he does this video with the 4 play guys. Boomer and I played with them from Barstool, and they're playing golf and they're talking about football. And Frankie, the head of it, but one of the main Barstool guys.
Frankie Borelli, shout out.
Yeah,
Borelli's
shout
just
out
in Hofstra, the pizzeria.
Exactly.
Pizza.
You know Frankie. So he goes, what is the toughest stadium to play in? He asked Sauce Gardner. And he's thinking about it, and then Frankie, like, throws a couple things out there, and he's like, nah, and then Sauce goes, Buffalo, but I can't tell you why. And then looks at the camera and says, if you know, you know. And that was it. Now, you have played in Buffalo as a member of the New York Jets. You played in Buffalo probably as a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Right.
What could he possibly be talking about?
I don't know. First of all, it is a tough stadium to play in. It is cold. It's weird because it's Orchard Park. There's nothing really, nothing around it.
Yeah.
As far as the fans, I know they like to throw dildos on the
field.
That's tough.
They've done that before.
I can't think of anything.
But like that wouldn't be
outside of that.
Yeah, that wouldn't be the thing. Like Sauce wouldn't be like, oh, you know, it's the toughest place to play because they're hurling dildos at us. Like, that could be the thing.
I mean, that's a hard job.
Yeah, but...
No pun intended.
I mean, but it's not like... Yeah, I don't know. I would just think it had to be something worse than that. Like, I thought maybe they mess with them in a hotel, like they're pulling a fire alarm.
Yeah,
or
but
something.
You get that all over. I mean, that's... I would love to ask them.
There you go.
I had to slow that one down. I'd love to ask him why he feels that way.
Yeah, I.
Now you gotta be conscious about it. I'm never conscious about it. My wife's telling me you should be more conscious about it, but now I'm definitely conscious about it.
Yeah, and by the way, just once again, for the record, it was Google that brought this up. It was not me who asked Willie why ask and ax are a thing.
I mean, it's in your search engine, so you have to bear some responsibility.
No, not my search engine. Not mine. There's two. This is what people don't understand. There's two different types of Google autofill. One is what people have searched on their computer, yes, and one that Google helps you finish based on what it thinks you are going to type.
Context matters. I agree.
Yeah, right. So that is all. So people don't get confused by this whole thing. Do you think it could be like?
But I would love to know your personal search engine. What's on that thing?
Yeah, it'll. This won't be as interesting. The one here, like my phone, would probably be more interesting.
Okay.
You know, but this one would be all show stuff with an explanation. Mm. You know, because I'm not sitting here, you know, Googling personal things during a show. But if it, like, my phone Safari search, that would be a good one.
It gets spicy?
Yeah. Well, no, I'm just saying it would be different. You could see, you'd learn more about me or whatever it was.
I think with some of my search engines should become like a little time capsule. At what point of the day did they search what they were looking for?
Yeah, that's true. Because that definitely tells you
what type of person you are.
Yeah.
Like, after 8, you can get real spicy.
Sure.
From, like, 12 to 2, you're probably looking at, you know, home improvement stuff, travel, but after 8, you can get real racy.
But I'm thinking, like, the hours that we keep here, like, anything. Like I could have a BLT at 4 o'clock in the morning. It would make sense to me. For a lot of people, that doesn't make sense. Like, could I Google something inappropriate at 5 a.m. for it to make sense?
Yeah, but you shouldn't be Googling how to crisp up the skin of a duck at 4 in the morning. It's a little psychotic.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. When people say, you know, I'm a TikTok guy. You know, I don't post anything. I just watch on there. I don't even think I follow anybody. But when people say, oh, you know, China's going to get all your information and see what you're doing, I'm like, I am not that interesting. I'm telling you right now. Like, now, if you sucked every dollar out of, you know, people's bank accounts, that would be a problem.
Sure.
But as far as, like, following me and what I'm doing, it really is not that interesting.
Yeah, I'm the same. I think I do the normal guy stuff.
Yeah, like, I'm not Edward Snowden, you know?
Like barbecue porn and, like, home improvement stuff. Yeah. I think that's guy stuff.
Yeah,
I don't think that's...
Yeah, like you're an Instagram guy, right?
I love it.
Yeah, you go, like, you'd go with, like, the search feature on Instagram, and then you just, that, like, you know what you are based on that.
You know, I just asked Fleas for clarification. I was like, barbecue porn? Is that some sort of...
No, barbecue porn.
Subgenre?
I'm saying, I kind of smashed that one together. I was simply saying, you know, as a man, I think a typical man search engine is barbecue porn and home improvements.
Barbecue porn.
Not barbecue porn. I mean, it's not a tag team situation.
We're redefining pulled pork. So I have, you know, I always say, you know, boobs, boat, and golf are the three things that pop up. So for me, I do have, in this particular one, just based on here, I do have boobs. I do have an AI fake octopus because of what Boomer was confused about with the barnacles. I do have golf, and I also have George Carlin, who is one of my, who is my favorite.
With Ricardo Hayes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. How about that? My favorite comedian, George, because this thing knows me. It knows me well. There's really nothing to hide there. You know what I'm saying? Although I am pissed off at this AI stuff, because when I was looking for those videos that Boomer was trying to show me, I typed in, like, polar bear and seal and barnacle dolphin and all these things. So now it thinks that that's what I want.
I think there should be a running game amongst your peers and coworkers. There's a guy on TikTok. What he does, he takes two couples together, right?
Yeah.
A couple together, excuse me. And he asks the guy and the wife, the man and the wife, and he goes, hey, won't y'all switch phones to see if there's anything that shouldn't be as far as, like, text messages with other people? Are you cheating on all this other stuff? I think you should be able to do that with your coworker. Yeah. Like, hey, man, let me see what you've been looking at on Google.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, and I, you know.
To swap phones to see how many people would do it or be like, no, I don't think I want to share that information.
You know, with everybody that we work with here on a daily basis, I would have no problem handing my phone over to them.
Me too.
I really would not.
I'm not talking text messages. I'm just search engine.
Yeah.
What you've been looking at, but.
Yeah. I mean, even text
Eddie,
messages.
I think the way you're looking at me, you make me nervous a little bit.
No.
I was just trying to think, what the hell have I searched on my phone?
I think it would say a lot about a person. especially what they're going through in a day.
Yeah.
Eddie might have the safest phone here. Like, if everybody had to give theirs in, I think Eddie would have the least controversial anything that would pop up.
Figs, you make me nervous. I feel like yours would be, you know.
No, I'd be. If anything, my most damaging stuff would be, like, text about other people, but nothing. Like nothing with
yeah,
the
but I mean, everybody's got that going
right,
on.
Yeah, right? No, I mean, could give mine up. That's easy.
It's just one of those. The Fleegs does have a wide array of things that he enjoys. So
how
I
to make
see,
slime.
Like I could see something like that down there
that'll make you scratch your head.
Yeah, or just like wow, okay, so you're one of those guys.
Yeah,
you know, like one of those.
You're
things.
One of those guys.
Yeah, like not so much like.
You're the Brees over the pants type of guy.
Like, not so much confused, but just like, oh, okay. I kind of see it now.
Yeah.
You know, like one of those things. But nothing like really confusing. Like how complicated and complex really are we sports talk guys here? You know, really?
Oh, I think we're all over the place.
We're not that complex. You know what I'm saying?
It's not
like we're Stephen Hawking. No, it's like we're just a couple of guys talking about stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Fair.